Blog Talk Radio.
Está echadita.
Oiga, señor, we are federales, you know, the mountain police.
If you're the police, where are your badges?
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Scott Enster Network.
Heavily on those things that have to do with gang stalking and radio frequency mind control. And I'll tell you what, the more I dig into it, the more concerned I am, and the more I'm realizing the dangers that we're really in. I mean, I already got it, but this is beyond what I even thought. And it's a very, very, very serious matter. And it literally is a slow, soft kill that the New World Order is bringing upon us. And I wanted to, you know, do a show like tonight. I did, you know, the one on Tuesday for women. And Julie even said I was being a little conservative. And so, you know, tend to be a little nicer to women. But you know, guys, we got a job to do. And we've been called to that job. And so I want to go over some things tonight that confirm that. Because there's a war against us. There's a war to keep us from being who God intended us to be. There's a war to split up the family, to destroy the marriage, to destroy the children, to steal this country away from us. And they've already done a lot. They've done a tremendous amount. And I want to do some more on that. I've talked about America versus America, the corporation, or the United States, because that has been something that has been in place a very, very long time, and we have just grown up with it. But it's time to take it back, because that time is short. Now, even though the Book of Revelation reveals those things, the reason the Book of Revelation reveals those things is because, in reality, the church didn't do what they were supposed to do. And I'm telling you that if the churches out there now were to do what they were supposed to do, we wouldn't be where we are. And the ones that should have been heading and running the church were men. But unfortunately, as I mentioned on Tuesday night, the women are actually running it. And that's not working out. And it's to be expected that it's not working out, because it's not the order of God. And it has nothing to do with women being anything other than in fear. And when we give up our task as men and we pass it on to somebody else, it's usually based in fear. And the reason in you know, our apathy, you just don't care. But see, that's still it, because, gentlemen, If you really knew what they want to do to you and your wife and your kids, you'd be pissed. You'd be so angry down in your soul that you, just like that, the beginning of some of my shows, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it any longer. Because I'm going to tell you what, everything that I am uncovering, you think, you know, just when I think the devil couldn't go too far, I used to think that about borderlines. Just when you didn't think it could get any worse, it does. But God revealed it as being the depths of Satan, meaning that it's the bottom of the barrel. It literally is the worst of the worst of the worst. And that's who's running this country, because they're demon-possessed and or reptilian or both, which is either way, they're still of evil because they're not of God. You're either with God or you're not. There is no gray area. If you are lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. We know what Jesus said. Well, you know what? That's some pretty serious stuff. And again, the fire and brimstone that was once has been watered down. I can remember years ago when I was helping my father build his machine shop in Pennsylvania. And it was on a dairy farm, and he was going to basically retire as a experimental machinist. That's somebody like a master electrician, somebody who, you know, could do everything that was completely precise and accurate machining. And he was originally raised, you know, on the farm, but to do blacksmith work. And so as he got older and a little tireder and slower, he decided to retire. And so he thought he would start this shop up in an area where there was a lot of dairy farmers with a lot of old equipment that they really couldn't afford to go out and buy the new stuff. And so with his skills of machine shop and blacksmithing, that he would make parts and help repair that equipment to keep them running. Well, strangely enough, it wasn't received very well. Now, I've mentioned about Pennsylvania, and I know some of you listening live there. I was born there in Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania, right outside of Williamsport, the home of the Little League, some of you know. And I've been back many times. I was back last September, October, to visit my mother for her 90th birthday. But what I've noticed is that when you try and make an advancement, when you try and do something that actually can bring an expansion, can bring something that is contributing to the community, you are met with an incredible opposition. And I know you know what I'm talking about. It seems like when you try and do something that's good, you'll be, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. It's amazing. And he eventually gave up. And he never really did get that shop going, even though he got the building going between the board and the boroughs, they called him, and the counties and all the other things. He ended up just giving up. And so that's what happens to us men. We come in on fire for the Lord. We have a desire to serve God. And because of rules and regulations, because of condemnation, because of accusations, because of belittling, talking down, basically castrating the men, because that's what happens in these churches, that they eventually fall in line like all the other lemmings, like all the other sheep. And now they're not really the men of God that God has called them to be. They're there just kind of piddling around, playing in the sandbox. That's what you got. The church is a great big sandbox, and everyone is just playing and accomplishing nothing. You're building a little castle, you're building a little hole, and you push a truck here, and you do this and that. But you know what? At the end of the day, when it rains and the wind comes along, everything blows over, and nothing is accomplished. Everything that you did all day, everything that you did all week, everything you did all month goes away. And the end result is that the devil has not only stayed, he's got a stronger foothold. And I'm telling you, evil is one that will take, you know, you give it an inch, it takes a mile. And the only way that it can succeed is through sin. And sin comes in many different ways of rebellion, those things of rejecting the word, those things of denying who you are. You know, you think about it, Christ giving himself and dying on the cross. You know, when he was in the garden and he was praying and he said, "Lord, if this is your will," he was sweating blood. And that turns out that that's actually happens. You can have hypertension so bad that your capillaries burst and blood actually comes through your skin, through your pores. And I can imagine, because he knew exactly what he was heading for. But he took the job. He took the responsibility. He cowboyed up. pulled up his bootstraps and he moved forward like men, like a man. Now, he wasn't just any man. He was God, Son of God, part of the Trinity. But still, he was in a man's body. And that man's body was going to feel pain, was going to feel everything that they did to him. And they beat him beyond recognition. If you've ever done any research and reading on the Cat of Nine Tails and what it does to the human flesh, and even the death that takes place on the cross, it's a slow suffocation. Now, if anyone's claustrophobic or you've been, let's say, even under the water and you've run out of breath for some reason, I tried going through an underground tunnel one time, underwater tunnel, up at Sorrel Lake. If anyone's from that area, I don't know whether you know this or not, but there's a rock out there that's got a tunnel through it. And I'll tell you what, it isn't for everybody to try and go through that thing. And when you get to the end, you want out. Now, when you're on the cross and you're hanging there and your body's pushing down on your lungs because you can't support yourself anymore, not only are you bleeding to death and the pain that you're in, but you suffocate. And he managed to still say, "It is finished. To your hands I give myself." Now, for us of being professing Christians, those who say we are bondservants, those who say that we're going to serve Christ, what you have done is you have made a commitment. You have told God, because I'm going to talk a little bit about the oaths. You know, our yes is to yes and our no is to be no. And so by not doing so, then you've basically are not filling your commitment. You're being rebellious, and you're seen as rejecting Christ. Now, what he did on the cross was pay for our sins. What he did on the cross is he paid the price for Satan, in that he was able to take back the keys of death and hell. Because Satan had acquired those keys because of what took place in the garden. Now, there's a lot of controversy on what took place, a lot of different philosophies and theories and so forth. But I subscribe the same thing as Julie, that I believe that Satan came into the garden and actually consummated with Eve. And in that, then she bore, Cain. And we know that Abel, that as I mentioned before, that it is possible that two men can come into one woman and she can have a twin that is one of each. Now, that means that in this world we have a lineage, a line, a seed of Satan. We have reptilians. That's where they're from. We have those things of fallen angels before and after the flood that came into the daughters of men. So if the garden, if that wasn't the case in the garden, we know that the fallen angels, who again were at one time angelic, just as Satan, that did take place. That is for sure documented. So either way you look at it, we have things in the world that are not of God that are mixed in with us. And that's some pretty serious stuff. And then on top of that, you have the demons. Now, since that is the understanding of our enemy, which is God's enemy, that they wish to destroy us, to steal, kill, and take everything from us, to curse us, to cause us to forfeit our salvation. And many of you argue and get mad and throw fits about my statements on that. But you know what? Read your Bible, because if you take the mark, you can lose your salvation. And I don't like the word lose, because lose means that you've misplaced something, that you've dropped something, you've lost it. Well, no, you forfeit it. You make a willful choice to walk away from who you serve. Now, in the last days, we will see that many will fall away, okay? We also see that men's hearts will fail them. If we're in Christ, then why would our hearts fail? When we look at the New Testament, it really was written to Christians. It wasn't written to the world. It was for us to prepare ourselves to preach the gospel, to make disciples of all men, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to bind up the brokenhearted. and to teach us how we are to move forward out of sin, out from underneath the law, and do those things we've been called to do. And I'm going to go through that. So what I want to make sure tonight is that you know who you are. Because what happens when and I'm going to get back to Tuesday, that when women assume the role because they had to, and the fear that they operate, then they will then make sure that they're not put into a position that you can harm them. This is one of the reasons that personality disorders are formed. This is one of the reasons that other disorders are set up within a personality or within an individual, because they operate in fear. And in that fear, they're worried about losing control. And if they lose control, then they're subject to harm, because that means they're vulnerable. Okay, and that's where women don't want to be. They want to be loved and nurtured and cared for and protected, and they want to feel loved. And when that doesn't happen, then that's when the devil slips in. So we have a lot of women operating in that field, in that realm, and it's not their fault. As I mentioned, that there was a target on their back, they were set up, because the church hasn't been doing deliverance, that the world was set up the way that it is, that it then comes against women. Now, we look at Islam, and they hate women. Islam does all kinds of incredible, terrible things to women. And they do them to children, and they do them to each other, because it's a demonic, evil religion. Now, we know that that's what they're trying to do, is to bring that here. So that means the women here then are going to be subject to Sharia law. And in that Sharia law will be genital mutilation. And that law will mean that you can beat and kill your wife. And that law will mean that they're dirt, that they're nothing more than cow dung, seen in the eyes of demon-possessed individuals. So, gentlemen, that is not the order of God. That is evil. And I can assure you that Jesus loved women. It was obvious. Look what he did for the ex-prostitute Mary. I say ex because once she was, and then once she surrendered and gave her life to Christ, just as Paul said, we don't look back. We move forward. We leave that behind, because that is no longer who we are. So when we say that we come to Christ, we leave those things behind. Now, unfortunately, because there isn't deliverance, then what you've done as you move forward in your walk, both men and women, you have taken the demons, you've taken the sin that has not been repented of, you've taken the curses that have been in your family, and you pack them up and you take them with you with your walk into Christ. And so now your flesh wars. Now the spirits that are in your mind mess with your mind. The witchcraft, the divination, the sorcery, those things of fornication, those things of pornography, those things of lust, those things on and on and on and on, just absolutely destroy those within the church, both men and women. So, what do we do? Well, obviously, as I mentioned before, that if you have a house that's infested with roaches and mice and all this other stuff, that you call in the exterminator, and then you eradicate them. So when you eradicate them, then all the potential disease, all the potential droppings that would be everywhere, everything, all the food that would have been violated, everything that would have been contaminated is now not going to be contaminated. And so then we get out the scrub brush and we get out the insecticide or the cleansers, those antibacterial things, and we start cleaning. We start making everything good as new. Okay, we sweep everything out. We do a spring cleaning. We open up the windows. We air it out. And we make a home for ourselves and cleanse and cleaning and love and those things of purity. Now, we cannot do that unless we take care of business first. Now, as much as I like animals, we know that animals sometimes make mistakes and they make a mess in a house. Cats love toilet paper rolls, and unfortunately, sometimes they'll do things in the corner we wish they hadn't done. And so once in a while, we still need to do a cleaning of our home. Regardless of how well we keep it, there are still things that can happen that come along and contaminate it. So once we've cleaned, we have to continue, because like any burglar, any theft, anything that wishes to take from you, like a thief in the night, they'll come in through the window, they'll come in through the front door if you leave it unlocked, and they will take what is yours. And we know that there are those people who will even violate you, including women. So what we do is we stay on guard. We, as men, take the responsibility to protect and guard our home. Now, if you are a single man, then you protect your mind. You protect your ear gates and your eye gates. You read the word. You replenish your mind. You get rid of the old man, and you move forward with new wineskins, period. That's just what you do. And by doing that, then you've locked the door, you've closed the window, you've even barred the window, you've put a deadbolt on the door, and the strong man or the evil cannot come in. But until you clean your mind, you're going to go to bed and you're going to forget to lock the door. Did you hear what I just said? So what we need to do is we need to systematically go through what's in your life that brings potential harm. Not all sins lead to death, but by saying that, it also says that some do. And that means, I'm telling you, if anyone's into pornography, that's pornography/death. Because what will happen is those things will come in, those things will take root, you'll start to then slip, you'll start to let things happen. You'll even go places, you'll do things that you would not have normally done, because you're not just satisfying the flesh, but you're actually satisfying the demons that are in you that wish to act out their ugly nature through you. And the bottom line is, you're the one who pays the price. Because, see, demons are already damned. So what have they got to lose? They're riding the bull for 10 seconds. They're having a good time, even though they get thrown off and, you know, their beer bottle breaks when they hit the ground, just like the ones in the old bars. But you know what? They laugh and they have a good time, and they get right back up again. And that's you. So what you got to do is you got to knock them down. You got to kick them out. You got to grab them by the back and neck, and you got to throw them out that front door. And by doing so, then what you have done is you've stood before the Most High God and you say, you know what, Father? Your son paid the price for me. So I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to move forward as the man of God that you have intended me to be, and not behave what Satan's tried to turn me into. Okay? Now, again, fear. Let me just start out with fear. Fear comes in when you're a child. Fear comes in when you're in the womb. Fear comes in when you are in an accident. You have trauma that's brought to you. Maybe, and I'm speaking to men now, maybe there was a time that you weren't a big person, a big guy, and on the playground or in the alley after school or whatever the deal was, you got jumped. Maybe you got mugged by a bunch of guys and they beat the living tar out of you. And when this happened, they stole something from you, not just personal goods. They took away who you are. That's what demons do. So with fear, when the fear comes in, they're taking away who you are, because 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given you a spirit of fear. So when you have fear, what you will do is you will compromise. You will compromise because you're too scared to move forward in the authority, or you think if you cower back, they're not going to notice you, they're not going to do something. When this takes place, then what you have done is you have surrendered you as a man, because in your spirit, it hurts. In your soul, you're ashamed. then you develop toxic shame. And in that toxic shame, then we can't lift our head anymore because we're depressed. We're now not able to see our own selves as we should be able to. We should be able to love ourselves. And so now you can't even love yourself. Some of you can't even look at yourself in the mirror. You don't want to look at yourself in the mirror. I'm not talking about whether you're handsome or young or whatever the situation is. You just don't like yourself. Well, you know what? That's what the devil did to you. Now, let me just give an example here. Let's say that while you were in the womb of your mother, okay, we were all born. At least I don't believe any reptilians listen to the show. They were hatched. And in this, that maybe a word curse was spoke. Maybe even a witch walked up to your mother and pretending to be, oh, you're pregnant, oh, that's wonderful, and lay hands and speak a word over you as the fetus of a curse. Now, it can come along really quiet. It can come along non-threatening, but it can be something that absolutely is like a knife sticking into you. You may even jump in the womb. You may even at that point not even know it because our minds haven't, you know, it's very hard to remember anything like that. But, you know, there's a point in time where in your spirit you are robbed of who you are. And many of you came out of the womb with your hearts broken. You're a boy, you're a child, but you are still broken. Now, as this child develops, okay, so let's say the birth takes place, and your mother, who loves you, you know, is there for you and nurses you and does all the things that a mother does, but she notices, they'll just say, we'll just use the word Johnny, I'm not picking anyone out, but she notices little Johnny isn't like the others. Little Johnny kind of wears his heart on his sleeve. He's very sensitive. You say something to him, and he immediately gets upset, or he goes off somewhere, and he won't come out of the room, or he hides, you know, up in the tree or something like that as he gets a little older. Well, his heart's broken because there was a word curse spoke over him. And it's a terrible, terrible situation because he's just a child. He's not a man yet. He hasn't been given that responsibility. And so he still needs to be loved and nurtured like any child would, whether it's a boy or a girl. Now, as time goes on, then the mother can actually start to separate from the child, because she's not able to have a relationship with the child like the one prior or even after or the two before or even the nieces and nephews, right? Because you may have a big family. And in your spirit, you feel that. In that spirit, you know that your mother doesn't love you like the others. That is a recipe for disaster. Because the moment that there's any rejection, the moment which is a form of abandonment and can also be a type of betrayal, I'm not going to say that, but it can have the same devastation. Now, this isn't your mother's fault. She didn't know about the curse. She didn't know that was a witch that touched her on the stomach and spoke a word curse over you that now has you in bondage. Now, she loves you, but she doesn't love you like the others, and you know it. And so now, as you get a little older, you start to go through school, you may find that you soak yourself into a hobby. You like to take long bike rides, or you go off and be by yourself in the library or something where the only friend is really you. Now, you might meet a friend, and maybe they're the same way, and you two bond because you're commiserating together. But in reality, what's happening there is it's a demonic soul tie because you're both sucking the life out of each other because you don't have anything to give. It's not your fault, but you see how the devil works? He is a master and absolutely destroying people from day one. And so in reality, what you've become is your own worst enemy. So the demons that came in from the curse that was spoken by the witch, and or anybody that could have done it, doesn't need to be a witch, because when you speak and speak into the spirit realm, your tongue is like a two-edged sword. It brings life or death. And so these demons now can go take a coffee break for 6 months or a year because you're so self-destructive. Now, you get a little older, you come out of high school maybe, if you even make it that far. Unfortunately, some kids end up committing suicide. Suicide rate is very high right now. They get into drugs, some of these really hard things. And then the sorcery comes in, the pharmakia, the spirits of suicide, the spirits of early death, premature death, these things. And this is one of the reasons we lose so many young men and even women. And so now let's say you do make it through. You go to college and you pick a career and you take these particular courses. You graduate. And now let's say you're an engineer or you're a doctor or you're an attorney or you've taken business and now you're being very successful at business. And now for the first time you have money because you're successful. And now because you have money, unfortunately those women who wouldn't have given you the time of day now do. And so now what's the devil do? He brings along some hussy, some gold digger, somebody who may actually like you, but in reality, she really doesn't love you. She never could because there's just something about you that is a little less than what a man should be. So she marries you for comfort and for security because of the money, but guess what happens? Next thing you know, you're entrenched into your work. You're doing these things where you're not paying attention to her, and now she's having, you know, she can take a little vacation, she can go take tennis lessons, she can go do whatever, and now she meets the young man, now she meets the other guy that has everything you don't. You would have had it, but it was stolen from you. So next thing you know, you're in a situation where this guy, this gal, are... She's having an affair on you. They're stealing money from you. She ends up filing for divorce, and what happens? You get your heart broken. You get who you are stolen from you as a man. And in reality, what was being done the whole time was that this woman was a plant, was a counterfeit to get you up on a pedestal to a certain point so the devil could kick it out from underneath you. And now you totally stumble and fall, and once again the cycle comes back that you're not loved, you do not have worth, you're not a man, and nobody could love you. This is the message that is being sent to so many men out there right now, ladies, if you're listening, that I want you to understand that now you can understand why the situation is like it is in the churches. Because what happens now, little Johnny all of a sudden finds Jesus. And little Johnny comes into the church. He's looking for fellowship, friendship. He's looking for love, the love of God, and to possibly find a godly woman. Well, what's in the church? Since they haven't done deliverance, then the church is full of people who have demons. And little Johnny coming in under a curse of rejection, now a curse of abandonment, now a curse of divorce, and now potentially a curse of poverty, because he may have had everything taken from him, and that does happen. And because he was so heartbroken, guess what? He couldn't maintain his business. And if he was working for a corporation, he lost his job. So now the women don't quite see him as the man that they once did. Now, little Johnny comes into the church, starts reading the word, starts getting lifted, starts getting fed, starts getting stronger, and next thing you know, here comes along Susie, Well, Susie's kind of been there, done that. Susie kind of likes the Lord, but you know what? She's looking for a husband. She figures, well, all the good men are in church. I mean, that's what we were told, right? Not knowing that even the men as well are full of demons. And so she sees Johnny. And Johnny looks like he's in love with the Lord and like he's going to move forward. And you know, there's just some attraction there, but it turns out that in reality that they both were rejected. They both had curses over them. And so the familiar spirits within both of them draw them together. And now Johnny and Susie, or whatever you want to call her, are now dating. And sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, the old itch will come in and they'll fornicate. And when they fornicate, because they did not get their demons cast out, then the devil has sealed the deal. Now the demons can transfer to each other. Now the demons and the curses can transfer to one another both ways, bidirectional. And now there's a soul tie created. And by the way, little Johnny didn't get rid of the soul tie from the last wife. He still has an earning for her. And it turns out that he really can't love anybody because he has such a desire for the ex-wife. Why? Because there's no deliverance in the church. The brokenhearted are not bound up. And so Johnny's actually walking on one leg. He's got crutches. Just a metaphor for the fact that he's not a whole man. Now, there was a time that psychology was really pushed in the church, and they tried to teach, you know, about how we're supposed to behave and do all this other stuff, but they really brought nothing to the table of telling us that it was demons, that it was curses. So we continue on a man's philosophy and doctrine, which does absolutely nothing but get us more in trouble. So now the couple feel guilty because they fornicated. They decide to tie the knot to make it legal, and so they marry. Now they're supposedly upstanding Christians in a church. Both have demons, both have soul ties, both have curses, and both are broken. And now they eventually work their way up to being elders in a church. So now you have two people who are supposed to be running the church in godliness. Now they're trying, you know, they're trying, but there's a bondage over them. There's this dark cloud that is hanging on them, and they have to put smiles on their face to come through the church. Because you got to remember, church isn't doing deliverance. So now what we have is we have a man that eventually gives in to the woman because she wants what she wants. She just wants what she wants. And in order for him to keep her, because he can't go through another divorce, his heart couldn't take it. He'd have a heart attack. So he gives her what she wants. That includes basically his cojones. Now, I'm sorry, that's the truth. So she keeps him in the purse, and she tells him what to do. And in that, the example to the men below, because they're the elders, that they think that's the way that it is. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what we have today is we have a broken church. We have a mechanism put in place that guarantees failure. And again, since we are not doing the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, since we are not doing those things that we were commanded to do, the devil is in the details and he runs amok. And so over the generations, all the way from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and here we are into this new millennium, that things have actually come to a point that God is not even in the house. And so now, today, what we have is we have kundalinis, we have divination, we have those things of false Holy Spirit, we have cyclotronics to give us the high to think that the Holy Spirit has visited us, and a false sense that we're in a true family. And doctrines, too, that keep us in bondage, that say to us that we're going to be raptured out of here, that we are in a predestination. We don't have to worry about those things because no matter what we do, we're going to enter into the gates of heaven. So, now, let me get into a little hardcore cases here because I want to bring something up. I gave you a scenario that actually is a fact. that what I'm telling you is the church has been molded into a lie. Now, the man may act like he's in charge, because this is the way it is. When I get anyone in here, and especially a woman, and I pray over her, and there's an issue, you know, of the past. She's been in many marriages, and maybe her husband is not the one in charge, and so she's trying to do what she can to survive. And I'm saying this for men, for you to understand what's going on. Then I pray over them to break anything off of them, that to make sure that alignment of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the husband, and then the woman, and then the children. Now, I know that some of you men in your relationships and your marriages, that you're not put first. That the mother, the wife, puts the children first. That's not the case. That is not the case. Now, I love kids. We protect kids. That's not what I'm saying, that we leave them to the elements. What I'm saying is that your job is to keep and protect and to serve and to love your husband, to respect them. He needs to know that you respect him. Now, in some of the New World Translations, they talk about respect, but in reality, the King James is to have reverence. See, big difference, to have reverence. Now, in that, when that is done, then you're not controlling the situation. You're turning everything over to the man, and the man, God can finally work with, because he feels your reverence. He knows you respect him. He knows you love him. And in that, in his spirit, you know, as the old saying goes, behind every successful man is a woman. Well, you know what? There is a lot of lividity to that. Because in his spirit, he knows you love him. And guess what? Because he knows that, he now wants to protect you. He now wants to make sure that you don't go hungry. He wants to make sure that you're satisfied and that you feel loved. That's the order of God. And many women don't feel the love of God because they went through rejection as a child. And as I mentioned before, that in their search and their walk to feel that they end up taking control and they can take it away from a man who's broken. It's very easy to do. Somehow that gets mixed up, the thinking that's love, and it's not. So now, with this order that has been put in place, you now have a man who will protect, love, and to make sure that nothing happens to the wife, and he loves the kids because the children come from the woman that he loves, and so he will do whatever it takes to protect them. And see, that's what the order that has been twisted upside down by Satan, and that's one of the reasons we have so many divorces. That's why many people aren't even having sex anymore in marriage, and if they do, it isn't very often. We're reminded to come together. And then when we come apart to be in prayer, in that the devil cannot come in, because when we come together as husband and wife, we come together as one flesh. And there's a lot in that. Now, gentlemen, if you're into pornography, if you're into looking at other women, and your wife knows it, she, in her heart, will be brokenhearted. She may not say it, she may not reveal it or show it, but she will withdraw from you because she doesn't see her worth. She doesn't see what the way that God sees her. And that means that she'll think she's less or doesn't have it, that she doesn't satisfy you, and she'll withdraw. And in that withdrawal, you'll feel the withdrawal, and then you'll pull away. That's how that works. So get away from all that garbage. That's just what it is. It's a curse that will also go on to your kids. Now, let me remind you, men, that when we become men, when we become men of Christ, then in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the eternal life to which you were called, and also did confess the good confession and the presence of witnesses. And what it's basically saying is, be who God made you, fight for it, fight the good fight. We also see Paul, you know, it was, that's basically what he was saying. and that we're a witness to others in our behavior and the way that we act, and that we can confess the word of God to others. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. We are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a salvation for everyone who believes. And so in this, we're bold, we're strengthened as men. Now, Matthew 12:36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified or condemned. Okay? Or condemned. So there you go again. Not good stuff. So by preaching and speaking and being the men of God, you're going to be speaking and saying the correct, proper things. And when you go before the Bema seat, then you will be found worthy. Your works will not be thrown into the fire. Now, Galatians 5:19, works of the flesh. Now, I mentioned about pornography, but gossiping, slandering, evil speaking, lying, all of these different things that take place, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you need to make sure that as men, that in your protection, that you protect your wife, because what in reality, if you abandon your wife in the faith, she could stumble and you'll be held accountable for it, because there was an order of things. So we need to make sure that our wives are not rejected and that they too will come into the kingdom of God. That is the order of things, gentlemen. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Now, I want to point something out here. This is the verse that predestined doctrines have perversed. Now, I'm saying this in the context of the order of which I've given it for you to see in what they're really saying. For God has not destined us to wrath, okay, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hath not destined us to wrath, not condemnation, but to wrath. So if we're under bondage, if we're being beat up by the devil, okay, we see in Corinthians that a man has his father's wife and that he must be turned over to Satan for a time to be tormented in hopes that his soul will be saved. Because once you've been beat up enough, hopefully you finally come out and say, enough's enough. I'm not going to take it any longer. We have not been called to wrath. All right? Big stuff. 1 John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Okay? All right, Matthew 10:5-15. We're also called to go out to the lost sheep. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the commandments are spelled out. Repent. Follow him. Let your light shine. Be reconciled. Don't lust. Make no oath. Resist the devil. Love and pray for your enemies. Seek the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, okay? Stay away or beware of false prophets. Don't fear. Keep guard against sin. Preach the gospel. Make disciples of all men. Cast out demons. Now, I have to tell you that in reality, the men in the church are not doing this, because they're not doing deliverance. So I can assure you that if you are guilty of breaking one law, you are guilty of all of them. And I can assure you that goes along with it too. So what I'm telling you is that you need to make a decision now. Because right now we have boots on the ground in this country. Right now we have a tyrant government that is run by the demonic. We have those things that are being done to take away from our children. They're passing laws. They're stepping all over the Constitution, all over the amendment. They've eliminated it in many places. They're going after the guns. this false flag that took place in Orlando with the shooting, the evidence is coming out, ladies and gentlemen. The whole thing's staged. And what are the liberals and what are the politicians and what are the reptilians calling out for? The confiscation, the banning of firearms just before the elections. Now, let's just think of a world right now without proper law enforcement. Let's think of a world here in the United States without firearms. Without firearms. Now, the liberals go, well, then there wouldn't be any shootings. You're a moron, okay? You're demon-possessed. Because evil is, or evil does, what evil is. And that is that they wish to steal, kill, and destroy. And so when you have somebody who's a hardened criminal, when you have somebody who's a rapist or a murderer or a theft or whatever the situation is, if they know that you cannot defend yourself, they will take you. In these large cities, all hell is going to break loose. It's one of the reasons I decided to move up here. But now that the area is now obviously turned over to the homosexuals, I see that the others are coming in. You know, where I'm starting to see those that look like they've come from other countries then. And so I guess the Sharia law will be following pretty soon, because the way that the city council here is, they're willing to turn over for anybody. And so what does this mean, gentlemen? This means that we have a fight. Now, the fight has come to us, has always come to us. It has always been here. But what they've done is they've been castrating you. They've been causing you to stand down. They've been doing everything they can to keep you from the man of God that God has called you to be. Now, you're still going to have to face the Lord Jesus. You can sit here all day and make excuses to him, but that book is sitting in front of you. In front of you is a computer that gives you all the abilities necessary for the time being to do all the research necessary to find out what is going on out there. And because you men have stood down, now I, for some reason, am a rarity that I was called to deliverance. What I have noticed, deliverance ministries are 90% women. And you know what? I'm sorry. Though there are some good ones out there, there's some pretty scary ones too. Because since that's not the order of things, the devil has come into many of them. And some of the men that have gone into this as well, unfortunately, weren't, they're, how we say it, controlled opposition. Now, we shall know them by their fruits. If they're preaching things that say that you can still continue in your sins and have salvation, they're lying to you. You need to draw the sword of the Spirit, and you need to charge forward. You need to be a warrior. You need to be a fighter. Because here's the thing. When evil knows they can take you, I had someone in here recently, and I said to him, do you know why the demons are doing what they can? He said no, and I said, because they can. Because what we need to do in our hearts is we need to strengthen ourselves, that we need to pull ourselves up and say, I am not going to take this anymore. I am a child of the Most High God. I am heir to the kingdom. And how dare you put your hands on me? How dare you touch my wife and my children? You are evil, and so in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And if you don't leave, I'm going to throw you out. You need to fight, because they do what they do because they can. They do what they do because they're evil. They do what they do because they like it. And they like watching you suffer. When you see people suffer, when you see children suffer, it should piss you off. Look, I'm telling you, when I see a child, that when a mother brings a child in here, or sometimes a father, and the devil is beating them up, I don't take any prisoners. And you know what? They'll manifest, and the demons will cry. Oh, please don't. You know what? They're liars. How many children have they killed before this child? How many centuries have gone by that they've inflicted pain and suffering onto others? Beautiful people, innocent people, lovely people, loving people. And they've killed them. They've run them into the ground. They've sent them to asylums. They've ended their life with cancer. They made them jump off of cliffs. They made them shoot themselves in the head. They brought others to bring crime, to rape, to molest, to steal, to commit murder. And I'm going to have pity on these things that are condemned, that are already an enemy of God? That's the other thing. You need to know who your enemy is. You need to know who God's enemy is. Satan is God's enemy. Reptilians are God's enemy. Demons are God's enemy. And if you're going to pray for them, then that means you're in agreement with them. So you need to define who your enemy is. Is it the guy next door, as I mentioned before, that throws dog droppings in your yard when he cleans his yard? Well, okay, then pray for the guy. The guy at the store that shortchanged you and he knew he did and, you know, whatever, then pray for the guy. The one who punched you in the nose because you parked in his spot or something like that, then pray for the guy. But when you have an assailant who is demon-possessed, who's not even human, or half, or hybrid, then you fight, because that's exactly what's coming for you. I can tell you that every day goes by here, I know there's one day less. And that means the time's short. Look, I'm wrestled in my spirit too. And I'm frustrated. Because all the work that I've done over these 15, 16 years, I may have put a dent in things, but that's basically it. But I have done what I was called to do. And I will continue. Now, there's been some changes. I'm going to start doing a little, some different things here. I'm finding that this radio contamination that's being forced upon us is a lot serious than I thought. That in reality, we're all being cooked. We're all the frogs in the pot, and the temperature is being raised slowly. It's making us sick. It's making us not be able to think. We're hearing noises in our ears, meaning, you know, like white noise, even voices, some people. We're lethargic. We don't have any energy. We're confused. We're even fighting amongst each other. And this is exactly what they want. And so by the brainwashing in the news media, in the newspapers, in the magazines, and even some of the so-called alternative media, which is nothing more than controlled opposition, it's a psyop, that we still continue as business as usual without taking care of business. And I'll tell you what, I've learned who my friends are recently. And once again, I'm back down to one or two. And when we see that we are called to stand, that again, in that Romans call is what it meant, that's what they were saying, that you go back to back. We were sent out by twos. At least Jesus sent out the 70 by twos. He sent out the apostles. And in that, you protect each other. You've got each other's back. And right now, you need to determine who your friends are. Because right now, there are people who call themselves Christians and are not. There are those people who are lukewarm. There are those people who are counterfeit. There are those people who are mush. And the moment that things get bad, because they will, they're going to be the first ones to abandon their faith. I've preached and taught on the brown shirt spirits, on those people who will be willing to take the mark. And I can assure you that those who slander me and give me a hard time about what I do, they are them. They will take the mark. Because in their disbelief, even Jesus, you need to remember, even Jesus had to leave towns, communities, places because of the lack of faith. And with that lack of faith, he himself couldn't do miracles. A prophet is without honor in his own home, his own town. And if we are to be men of God, you know, one thing that Chuck Missler said when I used to attend his studies here, he said that, you know, as we will be called before the courts to give an account because they're accusing us, which means that in our faith and believing in Jesus Christ, we're enemies of the state. And in the Word, it says, do not fear, that in your faith you will know what to say because the Holy Spirit will come upon you. But what he said was that if you're hauled into a court and being accused of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? Well, you know what? That's pretty sobering. So the question is, would you be found guilty as a Christian? And would you be willing to stand up and say, yes, I am a Christian. I am a man of God. I am a bondservant of Jesus. Because if you save your life, you're going to lose it. If you're willing to give your life, then Jesus will save it. And again, eternity is a very, very long time. In this world, our life is a flash in the pan. And so as bad as and as terrible as it is, that if we make it through and run the good race, well done, good and faithful servant, then we will spend eternity with our Most High God, clothed, bathed in white, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a win-win. Through any other means is a lose-lose. And you will be held accountable, men, for what you do and what you didn't do. And so you need to become who God intends you to be. Now, I know that when you try and stand up and talk that you cower a little bit, or you feel funny in your stomach, or you don't want to do it. I get that. And especially today. But you know what? That's what we've been called to do. And as I mentioned, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if he said that, then therefore it is true. All right. Now, tomorrow night, Friday, Julie's going to be back. We're going to hit some more on these false flags and so forth. But I want you to know that I'm putting a very, very condensed, very in-depth teaching on the radio frequency situation that is surrounding us, including the chip implants. There's a lot of false information out there that's keeping us thinking that we don't have them in us now, that they want to implement them, when in reality we probably already do to some degree, whether it's through the dentist that you went to, whether somebody slipped it into you, put a hand on your back and said, oh, excuse me. You'll be surprised how small these chips can be and the application or the technology to get them in your body. And they cause sickness. They cause you to have to lust, to feel like you're being violated by demons, to have you lose your bowels, all kinds of things. This is crimes against humanity. This is gang stalking, and it's got to stop. The World Health Association. It knows all about this. They know all about the cell towers. They know all about the sickness and the cancers and the mental disorders that are coming from it. But they're looking the other way. They're looking so much the other way that the medical journals are being rewritten just so that these things are still hidden. So, gentlemen, we're at war. The life you save may be your own, but the idea is to save as many as you can. Men and women and children and women and children first, as the outcry or the cry came out on the ships that sunk And I was going to name that tonight, but then I changed it. Because are you a mouse or are you a man? And when we say mouse, are you something that scurries and hides away? And if you are, then stop. Because we have to stand for righteousness. We have to stand for truth. Because again, the life you save may be your own, but it is others. Children. Children are being raped. Children are being brought into captivity. Women are being raped and brought into captivity. Little boys are being raped and brought in captivity. They're being sacrificed. The unborn in the womb are being murdered. They're being genocide. Where are the men? Where's the church? Pastors? I've got another name for you, but I'm not going to say it. I don't like you. I think you're cowards. Well, I know you're cowards. Many of you are Masons. Many of you are Jesuits. Many of you are those things that have nothing to do with God, that you're a lie. Judgment's coming to you. You're going to get God's coming down on you, guaranteed, as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow. So the question is, if you're a man who's just deceived or lost, make sure that this is the best opportunity for you to get it right. And if you need to call and talk to me, then let's talk. God wishes that none should perish. Well, if that's the case, then obviously there's going to be an accountability for those who do, because someone let them slip through the fingers. Many make choices based on the information given to them. And that's why we're to preach the gospel and make disciples of all men. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, for those who are willing to continue to listen, then in the name of Jesus, Father, may your hand be upon them. Whether man or woman, that the spirit of fear leave now in the name of Jesus. That, Father, that your power, your dunamis, your love, those things that bring joy, those things that bring wisdom and discernment are placed in them. And may the mantle of deliverance be upon them. Father, may when they lay hands on others, they heal them. And Father, for those who have broken hearts, may their hearts be mended and bound up. And in that, Father, as they're set free, place them under Psalm 91. As you take them under your wing, Father, guide and direct them to your will. And in that, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty. I want to thank everyone, too, for supporting this ministry. And, of course, we're doing Tinfoil Hat Club. And we're just going to keep moving forward. Remember, too, you know, I've got some teachings on YouTube if you're new. I've got, Second Heaven Invasion, the book on Kindle. I've got Hoodoo Voodoo on paperback. I can send that out for me if you go to scotthenser.org. And I would just, by the way, if you're in a financial situation, if you email me, I will send those to you PDF. And then you can have those along with the daily prayer covering. And remember, people, that daily prayer covering is extremely powerful. That covers the types of curses and those things that would come upon most people. And so if you're in a bad situation, if you're under oppression, depression, and anxieties and fear and just all these things, start reading that. Walk around your house. Stomp your feet. Get mad. Look, once in a while, I'll take a drive out somewhere, and I'll scream my head off. I'll start kicking ass and taking names later. I am not going to let the devil have me. Just as I mentioned, there's a constant cleaning that still needs to be taking place for anybody who's walking with the Lord. It's a fight. You think they're just going to leave me alone? It's your demons I'm fighting most, right? So the ones that get kicked out or ones that may have missed or something, you don't think they want to come back and retaliate, ambush, and sabotage me? And then we, you know, have all these other things that are in place by our so-called government. Man, what a world, huh? Jesus, quick, come. God bless you. All right, we'll see you tomorrow night. I hope this did you some good. Good night.